This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
It is now the first Sunday in the season of Lent, and we're on our way to the time where we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, but on the way, he's got to go to the cross first. But I would ask you to take out your sermon outline so you can follow along with today's teaching time. And you might want to turn in your Bibles to the book of Judges, starting with chapter 13. Because we're going to talk about someone today that we don't often hear sermons about in church. And once you hear the story, you'll probably understand why we don't often hear sermons about this guy. Now, have you ever heard someone say, I have a weakness for dot, 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 fill in the blank. So many of us have a weakness for something. Mine, for the record, is cheesecake. Whenever there's a piece of cheesecake in my fridge at home, which isn't very often, unfortunately, I promise you, I hear that piece of cheesecake calling my name. I heard someone say one time that his weakness was chicken parmesan. He said that if he woke up in the middle of the night, he could swear that he heard that chicken parmesan calling to him from the fridge in the kitchen. And it would draw him in there and he would just be chowing down at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, snarfing down some chicken parmesan. Now, for the record, his yearning or craving or weakness was a lot like mine for cheesecake with any kind of fruit topping. I mean, blueberry, strawberry, raspberry, whatever you want to put on there. I love it. Now, you can see on our bulletin cover art for today, and yeah, I know I've gone down this list before, and we talked about this in the adult Bible study just last week, where you see the list of Bible heroes that we all admire because of the outcome of their story. But what we don't realize is that all of these people, look at them. Look at the names on here. There's something flawed about each and every one of them. And that's a good thing. Actually, it's not good that they're flawed, but it is good for us because it can reassure us that we can still be used by God. I mean, look at this list of the faults and failures of all of those people. Now, we're going to talk about one guy today who happens to be on this list, and it's the fella that's underneath Gideon, but ahead, above Rahab. Samson had long hair, and he was a womanizer. That's true, if you read the story. Now, for a long, long time, I often wondered why so many Bible storybooks for kids, children's Bible lessons in Sunday school, and other things would always talk about Samson. Because I would read that story and I'd say, why? There's nothing particularly admirable about this guy. Just look at him. Now, this past week, I confess, I was reading my Table Talk devotion book, and they talked about Samson. And they pointed out some details about that story that I have never thought of before. Never before. Now, Samson's background, if you're turning to Judges 13, verses 4 to 5, we'll see. And this is when the angel of the Lord, which I think is a theophany of Jesus, telling Manoah, Samson's father and his mother, what Samson's mission is going to be. Therefore, be careful and drink no wine or strong drink, he says to the mother, and eat nothing unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines. So, and this is on your handout, Samson was a Nazarite. See, who are they? This is a sect of the Israelites who were set apart specifically to do the Lord's work. The prophet Samuel was a Nazarite. And some scholars say that John the Baptist was too. As a Nazarite, He took vows to not touch any unclean thing, to eat only clean food prescribed in the law, to abstain from alcohol, and no razor was to touch his hair, which is why he was a long hair. But let's see what happens. Now we're going to go to Judges chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. And that says, Samson went down to Timnah. And at Timnah he saw one of the daughters of the Philistines. Then he came up and told his father and mother, I saw one of the daughters of the Philistines at Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife. But his father and mother said to him, Is there not a woman among the daughters of your relatives or among all our people that you must go take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? But Samson said to his father, Get her for me, for she is right in my eyes. Now remember that Samson's mission was to deliver the Israelites from the Philistines. Now here he is wanting to marry one of them. You see a conflict of interest there, just a little. The Israelites are supposed to stay apart from the Philistines. God's command to the Israelites was, don't marry among those other people, and it's not because of race, it's because they were idolaters. And he knew that the Israelite men were weenies and would give in and start worshiping the pagan idols if their wives did. That's why God said, don't do that. Now, let's get real. And this is on your outline. So Samson apparently held only a small amount of dedication to his vows. Apparently. The next thing is that his parents weren't willing to hold the line either. This is not on your outline, but they were enablers of the problem. Samson's father, Manoah, must have also been pretty nominal in his dedication and faithfulness to Yahweh because he indulged Samuel's desire and arranged the marriage anyway, even though he knew it was against the law of Israel. What should Manoah have done? He should have said, no way, that's dishonoring God. No, Samson, I'm not going to do that. Samson might have been an adult. Probably was by this time. But the law of Israel said the family had to arrange the marriages. So Manoah could have put an end to this thing if he'd had the guts to do it. But he didn't. Let's be honest. For most of us, we don't necessarily have to keep the law now, except the morality parts, because just because Jesus died on the cross, it's not okay to go kill somebody, right? So we have to still obey those things. But let's look at this in present terms. The issue is faithfulness for us. The issue is faithfulness to Christ. How many of us are tempted to turn away from when our thoughts or our interests come up against what we know to be true from God's Word? How many times are we tempted to compromise? Especially, and this is true, especially when it comes to love and romance. Samson knew God's command, but he just had to have that Philistine woman anyway. And how many times have we seen a story where a man or a woman had to have this bride or wife or husband, but they were not saved? But I love them. But the Bible says, don't be unequally yoked. Don't do that. And there's a good reason for it. It's like, if you pardon the illustration, for those of you who are cat lovers, this would be like putting an unbeliever and a believer in a marriage is like putting two cats in a sack. It's not going to work because there's going to be constantly pulling against one another where the core of their values are related or are located. Is anybody getting where I'm going with this? So we're tempted to compromise. Samson compromised big time. But again, the issue is faithfulness to Christ. Then there's the instance when Samson had to fight a lion. That's in Judges 14, verses 5 through 7. And behold, a young lion came toward him, roaring. Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, that's Samson. And although he had nothing in his hand, he tore the lion in pieces as one tears a young goat. But he did not tell his father or mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman. This is the Philistine girl again. And she was right in Samson's eyes. So Samson killed the lion. But here's the rest of the story from verses 8 and 9. After some days, he returned to take her. So he's going down to get his wife. And he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees in the body of the lion and honey. He scraped it out into his hands and went on eating as he went. And he came to his father and mother and gave some to them. And they ate. But he did not tell them that he had scraped the honey from the carcass of the lion. Why is that last line important? It's because you're not supposed to touch any unclean thing. A dead animal in Israel was, it's not too great here either, but a dead animal was an unclean thing. Don't do that. The law said, don't touch dead critters. They've been laying around for a while. Yes, you can slaughter one and kill it and eat it, but that's different. This one, that lion had been laying there for some time probably. Don't touch dead animals. The law itself said not to touch the carcass, this is on your outline, of any unclean animal. So what did Samson do? He saw the honey, he got it out of the carcass of the lion and ate it. He gave some to his parents too. Samson went against the law by touching the dead animal, and he also had his parents violate the law unknowingly because they ate some. Yet, this is also on your outline, here's the part that gives us a picture of the mercy of God. Samson touched the lion. That's true. But there's a redemptive side to this. What did Samson get out of the lion's body? He got honey. Like most everything that happens in our lives, even the bad things, God can turn it around. Samson got honey from the lion's body. This shows us that out of our failures and our trials, the Lord can turn it around and give us something sweet. We mess up, but God can give us something sweet as a result. Now, no, that's not our excuse to go do something bad to see if God can turn it around, obviously. But this is God's faithfulness. Samson got honey out of that unclean thing. What did God say about the promised land? A land flowing with milk and honey. God can turn around our worst mistakes and give us something sweet as a result. Or if we go through a trial, God can turn it around and use it for our blessing and our good. That's God's faithfulness to us. We mess up all the time, don't we? Come on, you can be honest. This is church. Please be honest. He can give us honey even out of our dead works. He can turn something around and make it work for our good. Now, in the middle of this story, Samson's own people try to sell him out. You remember what Samson's mission was to deliver the Israelites from the Philistines. Samson goes and he, you know, there's a little bit of stuff about his Philistine wife and all that in the middle here. But what he does is he ties a bunch of foxes' tails together, puts torches in them, and they run through the fields of the Philistines and burn all the Philistines' farmland. The Philistines understandably got really irate about that. And they went and they hunted down Samson. Now, here's the problem. The people of Judah, instead of resisting the Philistines, they wanted to turn Samson over to the Philistines because to them, Samson was a troublemaker. They'd rather get rid of the guy who was trying to deliver them from the bondage of the Philistine people because they had gotten used to living under the Philistines' control. So they were willing to sell out the judge who was sent to deliver them rather than defend Samson. So they turned him over, or at least they tried to. Samson then, that's when he took the jawbone and killed all the Philistines. All right? Now, here's probably the most famous part of Samson's story. Because whenever you think of Samson, who also do you think of?
Delilah.
Delilah. It's in Judges 16, verses 13 through 17. Then Delilah said to Samson, see, this is after she'd been kind of trying to get Samson to tell what his secret to his strength was. Delilah said to Samson, until now you've mocked me and told me lies. Tell me how you might be bound. And he said to her, if you weave the 7 locks of my head with the web and fasten it tight with the pin, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. So while he slept, Delilah took 7 locks of his head and wove them into the web, and she made them tight with the pin and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he awoke from his sleep, pulled away the pin, the loom, and the web, and he was fine. Now, here's the part that gets me about this story. Why didn't Samson catch on that something wasn't quite right? Let's keep going. And she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You've mocked me these 3 times, and you've not told me where your great strength lies. And when she pressed him hard with her words day after day and urged him, his soul was vexed to death. And he told her all his heart and said to her, a razor has never come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If my head is shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. He gave in. This is on your outline. Samson eventually gave away the secret to his strength to Delilah. Here's the question. Was he at that time so far away from God and so out of fellowship with Yahweh, the covenant God of Israel at that point, that he couldn't figure out that she was baiting him for the Philistines? What do you think the answer to that question is? Yes. His weakness for women was his undoing. I'll make no further comment on that. So she cut his hair, and the Philistines came and captured him. Judges 16, 21 to 22 says, and the Philistines seized him, and this is pretty gross, and gouged out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza, the present-day Gaza Strip, same place with the same name, about 2,600 years later, and bound him with bronze shackles, and he ground at the mill in the prison. But the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Was Samson so far out he didn't figure out that she was setting him up? What does that say about Samson's spiritual condition at that time? What was that? It wasn't too good. And that's so mild, it's almost polite, Emily. He was in deep trouble spiritually because his desire for this woman, a Philistine woman, was so great that he couldn't discern the fact that she didn't care about him. She was setting him up to get captured by the Philistines. Never dawned on him that anything was wrong about that situation. Have we ever been in a situation like that, similar, maybe not the same circumstances, but have we ever been in a situation in our own lives where we were so enmeshed in this situation that it never occurred to us that there was some spiritual danger surrounding that situation? That's the lesson we can get from this. See, Samson's story is very uncomfortable to read for anyone who's spiritually honest. And do you know why that is?
Would you repeat that?
Samson's story makes us all a little uncomfortable because of one major detail.
Because we can all relate.
Very good. Samson's story is a lot like us. Or we're more like Samson than we want to admit. We can get drawn in by something that isn't righteous. We can get drawn in by something that will lure us away from God. We can easily get tempted to do things that will do us spiritual harm. And sometimes we don't even realize it. Like Samson. He was so enamored and in love with this Delilah that he didn't see the danger. Or what was worse, maybe he was so in love with Delilah that he no longer cared about the danger. That's when you know you're in real trouble, is when you no longer care about whether or not your life is right with God, because you're having so much time partying or doing whatever it is you're doing. That's when you're in danger, the most danger, when you no longer care. Now then there's the ending to the story, and that's found in Judges 16, 23 through 30. This is a longer passage, but it tells the story. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, "Our God has given Samson, our enemy, into our hand." And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God has given our enemy into our hand, the ravager of our country, who has killed many of us." And when their hearts were merry, they said, "Call Samson that he may entertain us." And when their heart, okay. So they called Samson out of the prison, and he entertained them. They made him stand between the pillars. And Samson said to the young man who held him by the hand, "Let me feel the pillars on which the house rests, that I may lean against them." Now the house was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there. And on the roof there were about 3,000 men and women who looked on while Samson entertained. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, "O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me only this once, O God, that I may be avenged on the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested, and he leaned his weight against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." Then he bowed with all his strength, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he had killed during his life. I used to think that this story was a sad, sad ending to a tragic life. And it kind of is. But think about the situation here. Samson is what? He's blind and he's in chains. Tell me that's not a spiritual illustration. Samson was blind and in chains. And isn't that our condition before we are saved? We're blind and we're in chains. And isn't that our condition if we're backslidden? Blinded and in chains. And not only that, they were making fun of him. And folks, let's get real here. When a Christian falls and fails, the world makes fun of them. Think of how many preachers you've heard about over the last 10, 15 years who've messed up big time, and how the news had a field day reporting on the failure of this preacher, whether it's a local guy or one of the big TV people. The world loves it when a preacher falls. And so there he is. He's working at the grist mill in the prison, pushing this thing around, grinding wheat. Then they come out and they make fun of him. So, looking at the story, though, the passage tells us that Samson's hair grew back. Further, the Philistines apparently didn't remember, or maybe they didn't ever know, that the secret was in Samson's hair. Yet, think about this. Samson, in his condition, called on God one last time. This is in your outline. Do you know what? The Lord heard him. In blindness, and even as he was being ridiculed by the Philistines, the Lord heard Samson's cry and was willing to answer the prayer. God granted Samson's last request. And the passage tells us that Samson killed more Philistines in his death than he had in his life. Does this sound like Samson, even though he was flawed, and this is a break from where we are in your outline, even though he was flawed, even though he was a womanizer, even though he had failed many times, isn't this like, and can we actually see that Samson succeeded in the mission God had called him to accomplish? What was Samson supposed to do? Free the Israelites from the Philistines. So in the end, he took out more of the enemies of the Lord than before. So was he successful at what God had called him to do? Yeah, I think so. And yes, Samson, and this is a good lesson for us here too, Samson had to live and die with the consequences of his very bad choices. Yeah, God says he'll forgive us, but he never says he's going to spare us the consequences of our bad choices. So he had to live and die with his consequences of his very bad choices. And again, this is not our excuse to purposefully make bad choices in the belief that God will save us. Yet in the end, Samson was a winner. I believe he died forgiven because he called on God one last time. So what's all this about? It's about us. We're like Samson. More like Samson than we want to admit. We make bad choices, don't we? We listen to our flesh. We choose poorly. Scripture shows us that God knows our weaknesses and leads us to the place where He graciously helps us to overcome them. He will hear us when we cry out in desperation. He will forgive us and deliver us, even if we wait until the very end, like Samson did. Now, I would urge you not to wait to the very end, but even if it happens at the last second, God will forgive. Samson found that out the hard way. God is faithful. And even when we cry out to Him in our worst condition, like Samson, God will hear and He will answer. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.